And David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. For the waves of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I called from his temple. He heard my voice, and my cry came to his ears. Then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations of the heavens trembled and quaked because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. He was seen on the wings of the wind. He made darkness around him his canopy, thick clouds, a gathering of water. Out of the brightness before him, coals of fire flamed forth. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning, and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, the foundations of the world were laid bare at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from on high, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He rewarded me, for I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me, and from his statutes I did not turn aside. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from guilt. And the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness, to my cleanness in his sight. With the merciful, you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you show yourself blameless. With the purified, you deal purely, and with the crooked, you make yourself seem torturous. You save a humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them down. For you are my lamp, O Lord, and my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord, and who is a rock except our God? This God is my strong refuge, and he has made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights. He trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your gentleness made me great. You gave a wide place for my steps under me, and my feet did not slip. I pursued my enemies and destroyed them and did not turn back until they were consumed. I consumed them. I thrust them through so that they did not rise. They fell under my feet. For you equipped me with strength for the battle. You made those who rise against me sink under me. You made my enemies turn their backs to me. Those who hated me, and I destroyed them. They looked, but there was none to save. They cried to the Lord, but he did not answer them. I beat them fine as the dust of the earth. I crushed them and stomped them down like the mire of the streets. You delivered me from strife with my people. You kept me as the head of the nations. People whom I had not known served me. Foreigners came cringing to me. As soon as they heard of me, they obeyed me. Foreigners lost heart and came trembling out of their fortresses. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be my God, the rock of my salvation, the God who gave me vengeance and brought down peoples under me, who brought me out from my enemies. You exalted me above those who rose against me. You delivered me from men of violence. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing praises to your name. Great salvation he brings to his king, and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. So ends the reading of God's word. Let's pray together. O Lord, please teach us to pray. Teach us to praise. Teach us, remind us of who you are, of your saving might, your power, your glory, and above all, your love for us, your people. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. To say that David lived a life that was blessed is quite an understatement. brought in from tending his father's sheep to be anointed the future king over Israel, gained notoriety as a teenager by defeating the Philistine giant, gained favor with the people through his military victories, became the king's son-in-law, entered into a covenant of peace with the king's son, Jonathan, repeatedly escaped the murderous pursuit of the king, kept himself blameless and upright despite many opportunities to do otherwise. And then after Saul died, David became king, and the victories continued, and God's blessing continued. God himself entered into a covenant with David, a covenant of kingship. And even after David fell into sin, even after his own family began to unravel in sin and wickedness, even when his own son sought to pursue after him to put him to death, even then, David was victorious and his kingdom prevailed. And what we have here in this chapter 22 is a song that David wrote, a celebratory song of victory. And yet David doesn't sing this as praise to himself. Yes, certainly he celebrates his victory, his strength, even his righteousness, but he celebrates it as praise to his God. He sees all that he has, all the blessings that he has received, the victory, the strength, the power, the might, even the righteousness as a gift from the Lord. This is a song that is praising God for his strong love for the king. It is as though David says, I am victorious, I am strong because you have done it, because of your steadfast love for me, because you have delighted in me. And beloved, this is a song that is rich with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This song can and should be our song if we view it rightly through the lens of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so let's pay close attention to it. Let's try to see what the Spirit would show us, teach us how he would teach us to praise. Let's see if we can find even just maybe just a few glorious gems of God's grace in this treasure box of his love. The meat of this song or psalm, we can break into three parts. We can begin by seeing David's mighty cry for help, that followed by God's mighty response, and followed by David's mighty rewards. And the body of this song is bookended on either side with praise, with an opening praise and a closing praise. And David begins with praise. He says, he's praising the power, the might, the strength of the Lord, and yet not simply the Lord, not simply a God or the God, but it's very personal. It's my God. Hear what he says. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock, to whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. 10 times, kids, David calls the Lord my God. He talks about personal benefits. Yes, God is a fortress and a rock and a salvation, but he said, I take refuge. I am saved. You save me from violence. This is the reason and the summary for his entire song. The Lord's bountiful care, his strength, his might, and his saving deliverance. And David begins to tell the story of God's powerful deliverance in dramatic form. And he begins by speaking of his mighty cry to the Lord. said, I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies, for the waves of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. David was in great distress. And he has this sense of hopelessness, this powerlessness, where the waves, the mighty ocean waves, are crashing over him. They're encompassing him, but it's not just waves. There are torrents, powerful, violent torrents of water assailing him. He's entrapped, ensnared in the cords of Sheol. He's trapped in the snares of death. There's a hopelessness. He can't break free. He can't deliver himself. We don't know exactly when David had this in his mind, when he experienced this. He certainly had many opportunities to feel this hopelessness before a mighty enemy. Perhaps it was when he stood before a mighty Philistine giant who was clothed in mighty armor with mighty weapons. Perhaps it was as Saul's spears whizzed past his ear. Perhaps it was as the king sent men to pursue after David to capture him and take his life, seeking after David in his own home or in the hills of Judea. Perhaps it was when he was king on one of the many mighty or military campaigns that he was on against any number of enemies, or perhaps it was as his own home began to unravel and his own son sought his own life. David lived a very blessed life, but it was also one where he experienced great trials and great suffering. And he explains it as hopeless, feeling powerless to do anything about it. And his response was to cry out, verse 7, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I called. My dear friends, in the midst of your distress, to whom do you call? To whom do you cry out? This is the test of our faith. Because when our backs are against the wall, when we feel trapped and hopeless, powerless to save ourselves, we will turn to something for deliverance. The question is, what do you turn to? Where do you find your hope? It's in those moments that we find where we have truly placed our hope and our trust, and it's in those moments where we see for certain what we really believe about the Lord. Does the Lord really hear? Does he really deliver? Is he God? But the great promise for us is right there in the second half of verse 7. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry came to his ears. Beloved, again and again, our God promises to us that he hears the cries of his people, that our voices pierce into the heavens, into his temple, into the very holy place, and he hears. And when he hears, he comes to save. And that is what the Lord did here for David. Hearing David's cry, he responded with a mighty rescue. The Lord heard, and he came to save. Now, David could have been much more efficient with his words in this psalm. He had a lot of words to describe what came next. He could have simply said, I cried to the Lord, and the Lord came to my aid and saved me. But friends, David's given us, the Holy Spirit's given us something much more gloriously rich. David didn't want to simply inform us of what happened. He wanted us to see our God at work, to see how our God responds in saving glory. And my dear friends, if the Almighty God is your God, if your faith is in Jesus Christ, pay attention to how your God and my God responds when he hears our cries in the midst of our distress. And the picture that we have, this picture of God's glory and might and indignation, begins in the heavens itself. It says, "Then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations of the heavens trembled and quaked because he was angry." Beloved, if you are a child of the living God, God himself has set his seal of love on you. And he is zealous for you. And there's nothing that drives, that incites the anger of our God more than to hear that his children are in distress. And he describes himself like a fire-breathing dragon. Smoke went up from his nostrils, devouring fire from his mouth, glowing coals flamed before him. And with that response, his anger in the heavens, it moves him to act. It moves him to save. And he condescends to save. He comes from heaven itself to save. He bowed the heavens and came down. He rode on a cherub and flew and was seen on the wings of the wind. The Lord thundered from heavens. He uttered his voice. And as the mighty warrior, he sends out his arrows, lightning as arrows, to scatter the enemy. And the foundation of the world was laid bare at the rebuke of the Lord from the breath of his nostrils. The earth trembles as the mighty God comes to save. The image, that's the story in heavens and on earth, but to his children, there is great gentleness, great tenderness. What he says is, he brought me up. He sent from on high and he took me. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy because they were too mighty for me. He brought me out in a broad place and he set me there. Beloved, some of us have experienced this type of deliverance from the Lord where things were so distressing, utterly distressing. There seemed to be no way to escape from those circumstances. And in a cry of desperation and sincerity, cried to the Lord. And his response was so immediate and so powerful and so wonderful that there was no other reasonable explanation than God himself took immediate action to grant deliverance. And my dear friends, I can tell you that such deliverance is transformative. You will never be the same. And it is cause for great blessing and praise. And to add blessing upon blessing, David explains the reason why the Lord took such action. There, second half of verse 20, it says, he rescued me because he delighted in me. My beloved, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us Know this, beloved, if you have knowledge of the love of our God, if you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is only because he delighted in you. If he grants deliverance, it is because he delights himself in you. If you are a child of the living God, it is because he has great joy and delight, and be confident in his love for you. And when he grants salvation, it is not out of obligation, it is out of joy, because he delights in you and in me. And this deliverance that David experienced, that we experience, it came with great rewards, mighty rewards. But before he speaks about the rewards, David says something that is quite astounding, I think. He gives the reason. He gives a reason why the Lord rewarded him with these rewards. Verse 21, the Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me. From his statutes I did not turn aside. I was blameless before him, and I have kept myself from guilt. And the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of in his sight. My dear friends, would you feel confident? Do you feel confident singing this song? Do you feel confident saying, the Lord has rewarded me because of my righteousness, because of the cleanness of my hands? This is, of all people, David that is writing this song. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, how could David in his right mind be singing this song? How could the Spirit of God be putting these words into David's mouth? David, of all people, whom we know to be an adulterer and a murderer, even if, as some people say, David was speaking generally, he's speaking of his general intent and desire to serve the Lord and to set the Lord before him, which is true. Or even if David was writing these words before the incident with Bathsheba, the Spirit of God knows exactly where he was intending to put this particular song. And the Spirit of God knew exactly what his hearers, like you and me, the hearers from all ages, what we would know about David when he said these words, when we read these words, and how we would struggle to understand how David could possibly say this, how we could possibly say this. And to make matters worse, David goes on. He says, with the merciful, you show yourself merciful. And with the blameless man, you show yourself blameless. But we know David was not merciful, not to Uriah. He certainly wasn't blameless with Bathsheba. And if we search our hearts, we know that we are not blameless. We can't claim some kind of righteousness of our own, some cleanliness of our own hands. But my dear friends, the key to unlocking this ministry is in what David says next. With the purified, you deal purely. Purified. Or as he says later, in verse 33, this God is my strong refuge and has made my way blameless. That is his hope. That is his boldness to make that bold claim that he has a blameless life. He has cleanliness of hands. He has kept the rules of the Lord. He is righteous in his sight because God has made him blameless, because God has purified him. David went on to say, he said, with the crooked, you, or the impure, you make yourself seem torturous. That is the way with the God comes across to those who are straying from him, who are apart from him, who are living in sin. He seems tortuous, as though God is withholding happiness and contentment. He may allow temporary blessings, but they never satisfy. There's frustration, there's struggles. And the Lord frustrates our way. It makes our way seem torturous as a test, as an opportunity to turn to Him. He says in verse 28, "You save a humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them down." Either way, we are brought low before the Almighty God. But God says, "I save those who are humble, who humble themselves before the Lord, who experience this tortuous impact from God and humble themselves before Him, who turn to Him, who cry out." And that's exactly what David had done. When the Lord confronted David in his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah, David said, "I have sinned." And he said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, according to your steadfast love. Blot out my transgressions. Cleanse me. Wash me thoroughly. Purge me." And the Lord did. The prophet Nathan said, "The Lord has put away your sin." David knew that that God Himself didn't just forgive. He cleansed. He purifies. And because of that, he knew that because God had put away his sin, that he had purified David, and that David was blameless and righteous in his sight. And it was as if he had kept all the rules of our God. It was a righteousness and a blamelessness and a cleanliness that was not of David, but it was a gift of God by his grace. And beloved, this is the gospel message. This is what God does. This is the promise that we have, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is incredibly difficult for us to accept, because we remember the sins that have been committed against us and by us. And we view them as though, because they had happened, they are a permanent part of our record. They are a permanent stain that cannot be washed off. But that is not what God says. It says that when we confess our sins, the blood of Jesus Christ is powerful enough to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We were washed, we were cleansed, we were sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. That is the good news of the gospel. Beloved, does God seem tortuous to you? Has it seemed like he has been your enemy, that he has been at odds, that he's been depriving you of happiness and contentment and getting in your way? Please humble yourselves before him. Please confess your sins before him. Pledge your allegiance to him. Plead the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on your behalf. Ask him to cleanse you and to purify you and to make you clean. But my dear friends, if your faith is in Jesus Christ and you have confessed your sins, then boldly claim this bold claim that David makes. I am righteous in his sight. I am blameless. My hands are clean. And because of that, because of what you have done, O Lord, you have rewarded me with grace upon grace. But he continues, when he speaks of these rewards, he explains how he grants this deliverance that God has provided. God has condescended, but then he speaks of how. And what he says is astounding, that God grants deliverance by equipping his king with supernatural abilities and armor. That God himself does the equipping so that the king has victory. He says, with you, I can run against a troop. I can leap over a wall. He says, I've got this strong ability. He made my feet like the feet of a deer. He trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You would never make a bow out of bronze. It would be far too hard to pull. And yet David says, I have the strength that God has given to me. He has equipped me with strength so that I can bend this bow of bronze. And you have given me the shield of your salvation. It is God's equipping of us to be able to do what he calls us to do. And then he says this somewhat confusing comment. Verse 36, second half, he says, and your gentleness has made me great. That word gentleness could also be translated your help, your answer, your aid. Maybe a good way of thinking of it is your condescension. It's because God himself has come down and has intervened and has gifted David with these rewards by way of answer. That is what has made him great. The result is that David is indeed great and victorious. He says, I pursued my enemies and destroyed them and did not turn back until they were consumed. I consumed them. I thrust them through so they did not rise. They fell under my feet because of what you did. You equipped me with strength for battle. You made those who rise against me sink under me. You made my enemies turn their backs. And I destroyed them. I crushed them and stomped them down like the mire of the streets. And this king who is victorious, the Lord rewarded him as being the king of the nations. He said, you kept me as the head of the nations. People I had known served me. Foreigners came cringing to me. Foreigners lost heart and came trembling out of their fortresses. This is what God had done for David. This was the reward that he gave him. And as a result, this king of the nations had nothing better to do but to praise the God who had done this and to teach the nations to praise. He says, for this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations and sing praises to your name. Great salvation he brings to his king and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. The people are saved with their king, and the Lord gives the king victory. And beloved, this wonderful and glorious song of victory is a song that is ours through the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we understand it rightly, we can sing this song in Jesus Christ and claim these things, claim this victory and this deliverance and this power and this righteousness in Jesus Christ. Because this song, even more than a song of David, could be truly sung as a song of our Savior Jesus Christ. He is the one who bowed the heavens to come down in answer for our need for deliverance, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, even when we were entangled in the cords of Sheol. And yet to do so, to accomplish that salvation for us, he had to become like us. He had to experience our suffering, and he had to endure this for us and for our salvation. And he, our Savior Jesus Christ, experienced greater suffering than David ever did. Truly, the waves and the torrents assailed him. Truly, what he experienced was tortuous and horrific beyond even our imagination can comprehend. And the cords of Sheol and the snares of death captured him, and he gave up his spirit. He died He was buried, and he continued under the power of death. And yet, Hebrews tells us that in the days of his ministry, he cried to the Lord, to the one that he knew could save him from death. And yet, as he hung there on the cross, as he cried to the Lord stopped his ears and was deaf to him. Our Savior said, "Why, O God, have you forsaken me? Why are you not listening? Where is your salvation, O Lord?" And he, unlike David, was perfect. He was blameless. By his own blamelessness, his hands were clean because of his perfect obedience. He was perfectly righteous with his own righteousness. And God stopped his ears, because in the moment when he was on the cross, he was there for us, and God made him who knew no sin to be sin. He became our uncleanness, and the guilt of our sin, he became our unrighteousness. And the Father turned his face away. And yet, even though he died and was buried, his cries, his righteous cries, reached the eternal ears of our God. And the Lord God Almighty was angry. And the heavens and the earth reeled and rocked as his beloved Son lay unjustly in the ground. He had accomplished all righteousness. He had fulfilled all righteousness by putting to death in his body all the sins. And God would not let his Holy One see decay. And so God himself descended and lifted up his Son from many waters and set him in a broad place. And as David said, he who had been put low by his enemies and by death itself was exalted above them all and given strength and power and the power of an indestructible life. And Jesus Christ was given all authority in heaven and on earth in the name that is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And beloved, he did this for you and for me. He did this. He endured this suffering and the deaf ears of our God so that he could know our suffering. He was victorious over death for us so that we could have victory over the death. He endured this suffering so that he could go into the Holy of Holies and he could intercede on our behalf, so that he could pray in the ear of our God for us in the midst of our suffering and our distress, when we are hopeless, when we don't even know what to cry for. He knows, and he is crying for us. He went as our representative so that when we cry out to our God, he stands there in the holy place, in the ear of our God, so that our voice reaches to his ear. He descended and tasted death so that he could lift us up by his power. He shed his blood so that we could be purified and made blameless and counted righteous in him. And by faith in Jesus Christ, we are clothed with him so that his righteousness is ours, his blamelessness is ours, his cleanliness, his life, his immortality is ours, beloved. Oh, beloved, this is our God. This is the God who is mighty to save. Oh, beloved, rejoice in this salvation. Rejoice in it, but more than that, rejoice in the God who is our salvation. Sing praises to him. Let your heart exult. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. And beloved, he has done this for you and for me. The Lord lives, and blessed be our rock, and exalted be our God, the rock of our salvation. Amen and amen, beloved. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you and we praise you that you are a God who saves, a God who is delighted in us, not because that there's anything in us other than you love to love and you delight to delight in us. We thank you for your love for us. We praise you for your power and your might. We thank you and we praise you for revealing even your indignation when we are in the midst of our distress. Oh Lord, help us to believe that. Believe that you love us. Help us to look to our Savior Jesus Christ and to see that love made manifest. Oh Lord, as your Spirit works in us, as you condescend and your gentleness, your gentle Spirit works in us to make us great and to work your power, help us to believe it. Help us to put our faith and our trust in you, to cry to you in the midst of our distress, and to walk by faith and to proclaim this among the nations, even among one another. Oh Lord, you are amazing and glorious. Thank you for being our God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.